A Pentecost Sunday Sermon, preached by Reverend Richard A. Rem at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on May 30, 1993, entitled Spirit Embodied Humanly. The texts for the sermon are Numbers 11, verse 29, John 14, verses 12 and 18, and Acts 2, verse 4. Copyright Grand Valley State University.
The day of Pentecost is about the giving of God's Spirit on all flesh and the breaking out of a narrow particularism into a cosmic universalism. The Bible starts with the universal, the Creator, the one true God, creating all things, bringing all things into being, and being in relationship to the whole cosmos and to the people. Those early chapters of Genesis tell us about the trouble God found, the disobedience, the revolt, the refusal to believe that the world could be loved as God would love the world. It culminates in that 11th chapter with the building of the Tower of Babel, when the human person would vaunt himself against God. And so that universal dealing of the Creator with the creation turns now in the 12th chapter of Genesis to the particular. God says, okay, I have another strategy. I'll start with one. But the reason that God started with one was to reach all. He said to Abraham, in you, all peoples of the earth will be blessed. And so there's a story of Israel. The nation was formed in the Exodus, and Moses was the leader. But that people was so cantankerous, as bad as anything in those opening chapters. And Moses finally says, I can't stand it anymore. And so God says, I'll help you out. I'll give some of your spirit, my spirit, on you to 70 leaders. Gather them out at the tabernacle. And so when the dial-a-ride bus came to pick the group up, two of them were late and didn't make the bus. And so there's 68 out there with Moses at the tent of meeting. God comes down, gives a little spirit to everybody, and they all start prophesying. And those two birds in the camp, why, it happened to them too. But there was a young man there. He was well schooled in what is decent and orderly, what is proper procedure. And he saw those two guys in the camp, and they started prophesying too, and he knew that that couldn't be, because they missed the bus. And so he ran out there, and he told Moses, he said, oh, Moses, Eldad and Medad, they're prophesying in the camp, and Joshua, Moses' right-hand man, who at this point is a little threatened by all these others that are going to now be in a leadership position too, says, oh, my Lord, Moses, forbid them. And Moses says, stifle yourself, Joshua. Relax. Are you jealous for my account? I would that all God's people would prophesy. I would that God's Spirit would be poured out on all people. A little bit later in Israel's history, there was a prophet who foresaw the day when the Spirit of God would be poured out on all flesh. And in the fullness of time, that particular strategy that began with Abraham and became Israel came focused in Jesus, conceived by the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Spirit, living in the fullness of the Spirit, which is God's breath, God breathing fully through this person. This one lives God's way. This one reaches beyond the narrow, limited bounds of Israel. This one moves beyond the tight structures of the temple and the priesthood. This one reaches out to the abandoned and to the lost and to the guilty. This one speaks in his table fellowship of a presence of God that is gracious and that is all-embracing. And they killed him for that. But God raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus appeared to his followers often enough in order to convince them that he was really alive before he was crucified, he said, I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he did appear to them. And then, according to the story that Luke tells us, in his last appearance, when he was taken up out of their sight, he blessed them. He had given them the great commission to go into all the world and tell the good news. And he blessed them and he said, wait for power from on high. And Pentecost was the realization of the promise of Jesus. Peter says it was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. And obviously, it was the fulfillment of the desire of Moses that all God's people would be endued with God's breath, with God's very life. All throughout the story, what God needs is a people in whom to be embodied. God needs to be embodied. The Spirit of God or the breath of God needs a person or a people. Paul says of the Christian church, you are the body of Christ. As Jesus was full of the Spirit, the Word made flesh, so the church, the followers of Jesus, become the body of Christ, endued with the Spirit. And Pentecost is the day when the God who started out with a grand universal scheme and moved to a very particular strategy in order to get back to the grand universal. Pentecost is the day when that grand universal scheme was kicked off once again. Jesus said, go to the whole world. Start in Jerusalem, go to Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth, and tell them what I've told you, that God is near, that God is full of grace, that God holds the whole world in God's hand, that God will never abandon creation, that God's concern is as broad as creation, and God will never let this world go. God has redeemed the world. God is healing the world. God will have God's way. Go tell everybody. Jesus ran afoul of institutional religion, and he was put to death because he reached outside of acceptable boundaries. That young man that ran to tell Moses was multiplied over and over and became legion in the history of religion, where there's just one way to do it. There's just one right truth, one correct formulation, one proper liturgy, one whatever. And there haven't been enough Moseses around, enough leaders with a kind of grace and security and grand vision to be able to say to the likes of Joshua, stifle yourself. So Jesus, inaugurating this grand universal once again, I think would probably be dismayed that eventually there was another religious institution founded in his name. I wonder if it might not be a tragic mistake that a Christian church was ever born. Don't you suppose that Jesus, that good believing Jew, intended nothing more than that the God of Israel would be brought to the whole world, that Israel's God would be brought to all people as the creator of the heavens and the earth and the great lover of the cosmos? It didn't take very long, and there was a Christian church. And then we had one more religious institution over against another. And what has the history of the world been but a history of religious institutions over against each other, creating hostility, dividing humanity, being the source of wars, acrimony, charges and countercharges. Pentecost. I think Jesus was saying as he left, go tell the world what I've told you about God, who is grace, who is full of love, who is the creator, who is the lover of all. And for God's sake, don't go start a church. But they did. And then we had Christianity and Judaism. And then, of course, there was Islam. And there was the Eastern Rite. And then there was the Western Roman Catholic Rite. And then in the 16th century, there was the Protestant group. And are there words eloquent enough to describe the sin and the scandal that is Protestantism? The fragmentation, the continual splintering, the arrogance that claims to have the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Pentecost would put the lie to all of that. Pentecost was the time that Jesus saw the movement moving beyond himself. Pentecost was the promise of Jesus that what he had initiated would become greater and grander. He said, greater works than I have done, you will do. Pentecost speaks of the one true God, of universal grace, who created all things and will ultimately bring all things to consummation. I have a dream. Pentecost is a day when old men dream dreams. If I were in charge, I would force, you see. That's why I'm me and not God. I would force every church to turn in its assets. I would dismantle every denomination. I would level it all to the ground. Then I would build one great temple in every community for all the people to worship the one true God who is the creator of all and the redeemer of the world and whose grace will finally bring all people home. Well, if you wanted in that temple, you could have a wing for the charismatics and let them carry on a bit. And you could have a deep Gothic nave where high Anglicans could use the prayer book with comfort. And there might be some rather plain, sparse, somber, uninteresting locale for Dutch Calvinists. But I would force every worshiper of God to go to one place and have to rub elbows and get to know one another and stop this exclusivism, this alienation and division, this running the church like a free enterprise system with all the marketing techniques, where everybody comes up with a little better entertainment, where we're out there seeking customers, putting flyers on people's windshields for God's sake. Pentecost would be a time when all of the religions ought to simply lay down their arms and kneel before the one God who's looking for a people to embody. A people who are willing to become the locus of God's breathing, bringing life and light to the world that looks at the church with such hopelessness. because of its arrogance, because of its blindness, because of its obstinacy. One people in all the world ought simply to be there for God and then be there for the world. God will take care of redeeming the world. If only God had a people that would open themselves to God's breath. That's the promise of Pentecost.